at high ticket sales, ABCs are the most important. And any salesperson already knows that means always be closing. But is that right? Let's talk to an expert on this episode of The Crude Truth.
In 1901, at Spindletop Hill near Beaumont, the future of Texas changed dramatically as, like a fountain of fortune, thousands of barrels of oil burst from the earth towards the sky. Soon, Detroit would be cranking out Model Ts by the millions, and America was on the move, thanks to the black gold being produced in Texas. Now, more than a century later, the vehicles are different, but nothing else has truly changed. Sure, there may be many other alternative energy sources like wind and solar and electric. But let's be honest, America depends on oil and entrepreneurs. And if the USA is truly going to be independent, it has to know the crude truth.
This episode is brought to you by LFS Chemistry, committed to being good stewards of the environment and providing the tools so you can be too. NAPE Expo, where deals happen. Air Compressor Solutions. When everything is on the line, Air Compressor Solutions is the dependable choice to keep commercial business powered up. Sandstone Group. Exec Crew. Elevate your network. Elevate your knowledge. Oil and Gas Workers Association. Pecos Country Operating. Fueling our future.
Well, hello again, and thank you for tuning in for another episode of The Crude Truth. As we continue to power on into 2024, again, I do hope everybody is just, you know, winning and having just such an epic year so far. But sometimes we do all fall off a track as we're already getting into the end of the first quarter of the year. And we got to get back on track. And sometimes we think, how can we do that? Oh, let's just get rid of it and not even focus for the rest of the year. But there's plenty of time. And today I've just brought on a great guest that's going to help all those sales individuals out there today just get back on track. But first, I'm also excited to say that I brought back my co-host again, life coach and entrepreneur, Christy Kearns. Christy, how are you?
I'm amazing. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's a good day. A little rainy as we shoot today, but that's okay. It's nice and warm here in the Dallas studio, so we can't complain.
It is.
Christy, thank you so much again for coming back on, and I'm just so excited about our guest. Our guest today is somebody that's a high-ticket sales coach, high-ticket entrepreneur, that's what she is. Our guest today is Keely Hubbard. Keely, how are you?
I'm excited to be here. Oh, thank you for having me.
We're excited to have you. I tell you what, I've already learned so much this morning in our pre-meeting or our pre-production meeting that it's just not even funny how much I've already learned this morning. So thank you. Thank you so much. I had an opportunity. I haven't met them yet, but I saw you on somebody else's podcast a couple of months ago. And you were talking about high ticket sales. And if I'm saying that wrong, please let me know.
You're spot on.
I'm spot on. Okay. But it's a career for you and you are a coach of this. And then that was why I'd asked, you know, Christy to come back on being a coach. I know I don't always ask the best questions when it comes to that. Some people say I'm uncoachable, but I don't. But
we'll let Christy be the judge of that.
For everybody out there that's listening or watching today, thank y'all as always. But can you tell us a little bit about you?
Absolutely. So I've spent my whole life in sales, or at least half of it, about 18 years, and absolutely love it. I'm one of those people that is obsessed with sales. I'm obsessed with teaching it. And my wheelhouse is really for people, when we say high ticket, that means if it requires a conversation to close a deal, that's my jam. And most of the business owners that I work with, most salespeople that I work with, don't like the typical sales approach. Like they feel gross about it, slimy, like they're being manipulative. But you know, if we're not talking about our business, we won't have a business. So we've got to get out there and we've got to sell. So I teach it in a way that is authentic, that makes you feel like you're truly serving the clients that you're working with. And I've got kind of a niche space within real estate, raising capital. So helping people learn how to have conversations with investors, where 6 to 7 figures is transacting across the table to get big real estate deals closed. So that's one of my passion industries as well.
Wow. I like the way you said that. It's like, you know, if you're not talking about your business, I mean, so like anytime you are talking about it, it is sales. You know, what made you want to get into this? You know, you say it's your passion. Where did this come from?
I started selling when I was 16. So, and I was selling very high-end swim lessons at a swim school.
Okay.
And I got my first taste of commission checks. And I was the top performer at this swim school. And I was training other people, like, at a very young age. I'm like, wow, this is pretty cool. So what else can I sell that's very expensive where the commission checks are bigger? And so I just built a career in financial education for a very long time, climbed the corporate ladder there, was very successful, took my sales process, brought it to corporate. It was a franchise organization. Okay. And we implemented it and grew the company from $40 million a year to $220 million a year run rate in about 3.5 years, and did it in a way where people still didn't blast us on Google because we had horrible salespeople. They wrote great reviews on Google and they really loved the experience they had, which was the most important thing to me. And I think like most people that are in corporate for a long time, at some point you kind of get burnt out. I was traveling 23 days a month and I just left. I was like, I need a break. I need a reset. I'm going to start my own coaching firm. And I started that in 2017.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's amazing.
I think so. I mean, you talked about, like I said, when you were 16 and you got your first commission check. Again, I'm not a salesperson. I can't close to save my life in a lot of stuff. But I always feel that a salesperson can make the most money. It should be unlimited. It's like, because if they're making money, that means the company is making money. At least it should be. So that's why I always think a sales is something that's amazing. And I think that skill is transferable. When you can actually sell, you know, as the old cliche, you know, ice to an Eskimo, I think you're just really, really doing something there. And the high ticket sales part of it, you know, in the oil and gas industry, that's all it is high ticket sales. So we've got guys that are, you know, trying to move 6, 7, 9 figures. And of course, you look at all the mergers and acquisitions that go on right now in the oil and gas industry. I mean, those are, what's a billion? 10 figures, right? Yeah, 9, 10. Yeah, those are 10 figure deals. Somebody's making something off of those. So that's always a great thing. You know, what made the high ticket sales be what it was for you?
Well, you know, my family bought a franchise in financial education, and that was really when I was thrown into what I would call high ticket, because what I was doing before that wasn't really high ticket sales. But this was, you know, education packages that were $15,000 to $75,000, B2C sales, so business to client relationships. It was a lot of money for an individual to spend or invest in their education. And this is really where I found my skill set and really honed it and developed it. And I had the luxury of not being able to play small because it was a family business and I was the only sales rep. Everybody's on payroll. Everybody's depending on me to close deals to make payroll and make sure everybody can have a good life. So I had the luxury of not being able to like play small. I really had to figure it out. And that's really where I feel like I developed the best communication skills, the best sales skills, obviously being in the financial industry. And I went on from there to raise private capital. And now I'm in real estate and it all ties together. But that's how it started.
It does. I like how you're talking about one, it all ties together. But it's like, you know, when you've got to eat, it's amazing, you know, what kind of work you can actually do. Right, Chrissy? I mean,
so true. So true. I have a question for you. You said that you obviously teach people high ticket. How do you start your process in a sense? Do you do mindset? What if they don't have their network? How do you teach somebody to grow that process?
That's great, coming from a life coach. You understand that sales is, I would say, if you had to give it a ratio, it is 80% mindset, it is 20% mechanics. And when I was in corporate, I had teams of about 600 sales reps, a lot of directors in there, right? So I'm not directly managing that many people, but I knew when one of my reps was struggling, there was something going on between their ears, that was the issue. And if we don't fix our belief system and what we believe to be true about ourselves, our market, the economy, our prospects that are coming through the door, it doesn't matter what techniques you know, it's not going to work. So I start a lot of my coaching sessions off with, does anybody need a head check? And I have a lot, I've created a culture with my group coaching clients that are like, yes, I'm really struggling today. And I've noticed that when they're in the middle of something that's high stakes, right? They're raising $10 to $15 million of capital to get a deal across the finish line. There's often times where they start doubting themselves. And so we have to tackle that first, which I know you understand, Christy, very well.
Yes, but I love that you tap into that. It's so important that you do that for them.
Yes.
Wow. I mean, the headset mind, and as you talk about that, when people are, because it's 80-20, and of course, is that rule, let's talk about rules and maybe cliches. you know, the 80-20 rule, which is, you know, 20% of your sales team actually does 80% of the sales. Is that a true cliche?
It was when I was managing sales teams. Okay. But that doesn't mean that you get rid of the other 80%, right? You're going to have 20% that are your thoroughbreds, if you will. They're going to drive the majority of the revenue. And I think where a lot of sales managers and business owners make a mistake is they expect all of their reps to perform at that level. Yeah. So the key is making sure that your lead distribution is allocated appropriately. If you've got heavy hitters that are creating the majority of your business, we got to make sure that we are loading them up with leads and we're not wasting a lot of money and marketing costs and opportunity costs with maybe your, you know, I don't want to call them B and C team players, but your sales reps are not closing as high.
Right. And then the one I led with there in my teaser this morning was ABCs, always be closing. You know, I think it was, I think of all the sales movies, the one with Alec Baldwin, the one with, I mean, even The Wolf of Wall Street. It's like, you know, you always be closing. You know, is that true?
This is going to be counterintuitive to probably what most people have heard. I would say a big fat no. Because what it does is it like creates this environment. It gives fuel to the sales reps in the worst way possible, where they're out there like wheeling and dealing and being salesy. And people hate that. Like, people cannot stand salespeople. Like, we have such a bad reputation. So I don't like the always be closing. My whole theory on closing is it's not my job to convince, justify, persuade anybody into making a decision. I will guide them, but I'm going to let them close themselves. Yes. And so the close happens organically because of the process that was in place. And most people don't have a sales process, which is why they struggle. They pitch and they push.
Yes.
That's their strategy.
Exactly.
They pitch and they push. So I guess that is one recommendation, is create a process. And that's something that you probably help out with.
Yes.
You know, another question I want to talk about is, you know, here we are now, we're already into the new year, and all salespeople, you know, have this goal and they want to go with it. And then probably by the end of the month, you know, by the end of the first quarter, they're just done. They're like, oh my God, I didn't do it. That means I can do it for the rest of the year. You know, is that true? I mean, can they turn it around? And if so, can you give some advice on how they can?
They absolutely can turn it around. And Christy, I already know that you, being a life coach and a performance coach, you understand this. But it's one of my own coaches said, they don't serve champagne at pity parties, so don't stay too long. And I'm always like, you know, you can throw a fit. You may have a bad day, a bad, you know, week, but don't let it turn into a bad quarter. Okay. And when we internalize the failures in our roles that we play in life, one of our roles is being a sales rep or a business owner. And if we internalize a failure in our role into I'm a failure, that's where we start spiraling. And so the key is keeping those two separate, what you believe to be true about yourself and the roles that you play in your life. And so something that I tell a lot of my, I guess I call them capital raisers, is the belief that I'm a fourth quarter champion. It doesn't matter what the scoreboard looks like. I always find a way to win. And when you believe that about yourself, you follow through with the actions that are required to always win.
Even a failure is a win.
Yes.
So, so true. I love that. That is amazing.
Man, I feel like I'm just getting amped right now. I mean, like I said, I'm no good at sales. It's like, let's do it. And, you know, unfortunately, here I am with you two lovely ladies today, but all I can think about is like Roger Staubach back in the day, and they were always coming back from fourth quarters. When you talk about your high-ticket sales individuals, the ones that you see that are just exceeding expectations, what is it about some of those individuals that they're doing also that help out?
A lot of it's their mindset, like we've talked about. Obviously, they believe they're winners, so they keep winning. The other key thing is they execute. And what happens in a conversation is, you know what you're supposed to be doing. Like, you know the questions you're supposed to be asking. You know the things that you're supposed to say when the stakes are high. And the sales reps that actually execute on what I'm asking them to do are the ones that succeed. And I always say, they're like, man, Keely, I tried what you told me to do and it worked. I'm like, I know, imagine that. Like, yeah. I'm telling you, like, I'm teaching you through all the deals that I lost in my sales career. Don't make the same mistakes. I promise you it works. But it's the ones that execute. Even when it's like uncomfortable, like, man, I don't really feel comfortable asking that question. I'm like, you don't have to like it, but you got to do it. And
go
the more
now.
Yes. And the more they implement it, the more they're like, wow, this stuff, it really works. So it's execution. It's a big piece of it.
Go for the no. Huh?
Yes. That's certainly, yeah. 3-second rule and go for the no is by far, has been helpful for so many people.
What's the 3-second?
1, 2, 3, go. If you want to say something, Do it. Yeah. Don't question it, because after 3 seconds, you're doubting yourself and you're not going.
Yes. Oh,
wow. So 1, 2, 3, you want to say something, say it. If not, you're going to get in your head and not do it.
I love it. Man, look at that. I mean, this thing is awesome. That's why I love doing this show, because sometimes I think if you do the 1, 2, 3, can't go wrong with just the crude truth. Like, you need to say it, or else, you know what, you're not going to do it. You are, Keely, you are in the in real estate, excuse me, wow, as I juggle my road trip, but words here. But you were in the high end side of those things. You know, how's that market doing right now?
Depends on the asset class. There's a lot of
Put that. I'm just gonna put that. That question. Ready to go.
Roll the grenade out there. Commercial real estate's struggling primarily because of interest rates, and that's what I'm in. Mm-hmm. We don't struggle as much on the development side, and I'm sure you understand this too. But we're taking raw land, building large scale mechanized vineyards, and then our investors are sharing in profits from harvest. Mm-hmm. We are super cash heavy. So we're not taking on a lot of debt. The debt we're taking on is very low leverage. So we're not really impacted by this volatile interest rate environment.
Okay.
As much as other asset classes. There's kind of this saying right now in commercial real estate, survive till 25. But I think we'll get some reprieve this year.
Man, I'm going to survive till 25. Okay. I hadn't heard that one. I don't know. You mentioned vineyards. So what kind of real estate are you into? Let's talk about that.
Yeah, I love land. I'm a seventh generation Texan. I'm one of those crazy Texans that loves Texas.
All right. That's the same here.
Yeah. And we, there's a huge opportunity in the state. Texas is a $20 billion wine industry. Most people don't realize that. But we take raw land. We plant mechanized vineyards, which is basically how California runs their vineyards. It's just Texas is 20 years behind in how they operate vineyards. And so that's very high cost because they use a lot of hand labor, where we can operate a 350-acre vineyard with three people and really big machines. And so nobody's done it because it's expensive. It's a $9 million project. There's no way to dip your toe in the water for 300 acres, $9 million. So most Texas farmers are like, I don't really know if I want to see if I can try that if there's no way to minimize the risk.
Yeah.
So we've our partners have been doing this for 8 years with their own vineyard, and there's a huge supply gap. There's not enough wine grapes, which is why we got into it. We're going to fill the supply gap.
Oh,
wow.
We may have to chit chat after this.
if there's a
supply gap, economics 101, supply and demand. That means even the crappy wines might be going up in price one day soon, and then they'll all be fancy. I don't know. What made you, you say you're seventh generation, so how long have y'all been doing this exactly with the wine?
Well, we got into it 3 years ago, but our partners are generational farmers, and they reached out to us and said, hey, we want to fill the supply gap in Texas, but we've never branded anything, brought in investor capital. My father's run six companies. They wanted his financial background and experience. Yeah. And so, but we connected through a podcast in the real estate space.
Oh,
that's amazing. Yeah,
they heard us. They were like, we got to talk to you guys. We want a partner. And that's where it came about. My dad was going to put vineyards on the family ranch, like you would run cattle, plant some vineyards just to help make the land payment or pay the taxes. And so they heard that. And that literally, my dad just saying that is, what do you do in your free time, is what created the phone call and then a partnership. And we've been doing it now for 3 years.
Well, you kind of, maybe shared it, but that's kind of what I was just saying. It's 300 acres. Can we carve off maybe and give it a go? We got a team. That's what I was thinking. Because one thing that I've read, I went to church, we're shooting on a Monday. So I did church yesterday, and I definitely heard the word wine in the Bible once or twice. So I don't think wine is going away anytime soon.
No.
And I think it's also cool. I want to tie in spirits real quick, that how Texas is now just doing so well with wine. I didn't know that. I know we have vineyards here in North Texas, and of course down in the Fredericksburg area, but also in those same areas, a lot of whiskeys now and stuff that we're doing is because of the rocks. They are a lot like the Tennessee and Kentucky rocks, and so we're winning awards there also now. So I thought that's pretty cool. I didn't know that wine in Texas is just blowing up.
Most people don't realize it. Just because we consume all of our wine in state, so people outside of Texas have never heard about. I know we drink a lot of wine here. Nobody outside of Texas has really heard about it. Yeah. So it's a huge opportunity.
I'm sorry. I love it. I mean, us outside of Texas, we never think of we just drink our own Texas wine too much, and we created a $20 billion industry out of it. God bless Texas.
That's exactly how we feel too.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my gosh. So what are y'all excited about for 2024? Here you had the saying, survive till 25, but what is it that you're telling your team, that you're coaching right now, or anybody that's in the real estate game that you're working with right now? What are you telling them?
Now's a great time to be, gathering investor capital. There's so much money ready to move. People are tired of not achieving their returns by having all their money in the stock market. They're tired of the instability and the volatility. And so there's a lot of investors that have money that are looking for trusted operators. Mm-hmm. and, you know, places to put it. So it doesn't matter what's happening in the economy. It is always a great time to grow your business. I was at a conference, sales conference. This is back in 2010, maybe. And I'll never forget what this owner said of his business. They brought him on stage. They were interviewing him. And they asked him, they're like, you 10X'd your business in 2008 and 2009 in the midst of a recession. And they're like, what's your secret? And he said, I'll summarize it in one line. I simply refuse to believe we were in a recession.
Exactly.
And there's so much of that that applies to what's going on right now.
That is so true. You know, I never, you know, again, I enjoy talking, and I've told this to Chrissy so many times, like hearing other people say things like, I've done that, but I never relate those things because I'm not the best communicator again, you know, And so you talk about that in 2020 during the downturn in the oil and gas, you know, we actually tripled in size. You know, we had a lot of people that went under in the oil and gas, and it was like, hey, we'll pick that up. We'll pick this up. And other than, you know, shutting down an office, you know, that was it, you know? And so, yeah, it's like, you know, we really did our best to continue to move forward and pretend like COVID wasn't there, minus wearing a mask for half a year, you know?
I love that. You're proof of it.
Yeah, I never thought about that.
Be the buffalo in the storm.
Yes. Have you been? That's been a big thing lately.
It is a big thing.
The buffalo, you see the buffalo, is like the buffalo goes head into the storm. It's like they don't wait it out or anything like that. They're just going to figure it out and they go into it.
I love that.
Do you know why?
Because they're smart?
No, because if you go into the storm and not turn around, you're going to get through it quicker. If you turn around, then the storm's going to, you're going to have to, it's going to follow you.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I like that.
Be the buffalo.
I do like a good buffalo.
Me too.
First year burger. They're good. Yes. And but no, they are awesome and they're majestic creatures. I will say that. But no, that has been something going around right now, and it makes total sense. And also, it makes me think of that funny, goofy country song. You know, if you're going through hell, you know, keep going and, you know, get right past it. And who knows, the devil might not even know you're there. I think is the way it goes. Keely, for everybody out there that has had a great opportunity today, you know, how can they find you, especially on the coaching side of things? Because God knows we probably all want to be better in 2024, excuse me, as our sales go on. So, you know, how can people find you?
Yeah, the best way is my website, keelyhubbard.com. I'm also very active on LinkedIn. So if you shoot me a message on LinkedIn, you will probably get a voice message response from me, but I would love to connect.
Okay. All right. Well, again, Keely, I cannot thank you enough for coming in. And to anybody out there that does have any other sales questions, you know, reach out to me and we can pass them on to her, and we can even ask them or whatever, because God knows we all need to be better with our communications. And it sounds like that's really just what it is, right, Chrissy? Just being a better communicator. And I did like how she also said, like, hey, you know, you don't want to, I liked your point today about where you were talking about, you know, you're not trying to close the person, like let them do it themselves. You just want to tell them all the good and good about it. And I guess the bad too, right? Do you got to share that?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. If you don't, they don't trust you.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's the crude truth right there. So, well, thank you again. Thank y'all both very, very much for coming on. And thank you to all our listeners out there, and we'll see you again on another episode of The Crude Truth.
Again, thank you to our sponsors, LFS Chemistry, Nape Expo, Air Compressor Solutions, Exec Crew, Oil and Gas Workers Association.
The easiest way to start your own podcast and TV show? Real News Communications Network. Stand out from your competition. Produce streams of high-quality social media content. Become a thought leader in your industry. With RNCN, you get to be the host. We handle everything else. Tour one of our three locations in Dallas, Fort Worth, and The Colony. Call 972-402-6333 or visit launchashow.com to find out more.